you could be anywhere doing anything, but you're hanging out with us, and we appreciate that. So wherever you're listening and however you're listening and watching, we appreciate you guys for listening and watching. And with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of the Game Plan Podcast. Alex Goodwin is my name. You can follow me on Twitter at Alex Goodwin TSM. Again, that's on Twitter at Alex Goodwin TSM. That's T as in Tom, S as in Spoelstra, like Eric Spoelstra, who coaches M, the Miami Heat, who just went down 3-1 to the Denver Nuggets in these NBA Finals. Kennedy Miller.
What's up, fellas?
Where can the folks find you on Twitter, my good man?
You can find me on Twitter at underscore Kennedy Miller underscore. Again, that's underscore Kennedy Miller underscore.
Lamar Gaffordson, La Preps, friend of the show, family. Lamar Gafford is here. Lamar, how you feeling, dog?
I'm good, man. How about you?
You know, I can really not call it. I can't call it, man. But, you know, all in all, I'm doing all right. I'm out here at my mother's house. I'm out like OG Kennedy Miller. You remember we used to record this show sometimes at my parents' house in the front room with my dad claiming he's charging me studio time, $150 an hour, son.
Absolutely. The glory days.
Amen. The glory days of the Game Plan Podcast. Indeed. Don't forget, folks, leave your questions and your comments in the chat. You never know. We might just read it out here on the show. But to get to the business, the Miami Heat are getting the business, to be honest with you. They are down 3-1, like I said, to the Denver Nuggets in these NBA Finals. Denver took game 4, 108-95, behind 27 points and 7 rebounds from Aaron Gordon. Jimmy Butler led Miami with 25 points on 9 of 17 shooting. So, Kennedy Miller, just what's your overall synopsis and analysis of game number 4?
It's just starting to seem more and more, starting to look more and more prevalent like it's a 1 seed versus an 8 seed. Like, Miami plays as hard as any team in the league. Jimmy Butler, I think, is obviously a, in my opinion, a top 20, top 15 player in the NBA, but they just don't have enough. And Eric Spoelstra, I've said it lately, is, you know, in my opinion, the best coach in the NBA, but they just don't have enough. Like, they just don't have that extra to get them to Denver's level. It was their toughness and, you know, their scheming allowed them to steal one game. But Denver is just too much for them. And you can tell, like, Miami is just trying to throw all these counters and all these traps, and Denver just has an answer for every one of them. And then, I mean, it's like, okay, well, we got to stop Jokic and we got to stop Jamal Murray. And then Aaron Gordon has 27 on 73% tonight. And then Bruce Brown goes crazy in the fourth quarter. He finishes with 21 off the bench. And so it's like, when you're getting those contributions from all those different guys, and you've got two guys that, you know, are playing really good basketball in Jokic and Murray, it makes the team very tough. And, you know, on top of that, Miami is already, like outmatched physically. Like, Bam is a good defender, and he's doing all he can, but they have no answer for Aaron Gordon or Jokic at the same time. Like, they're trying to throw Kevin Love out there, and, you know, he can compete, but it's not good enough. And so I think that Miami stole one. They didn't get swept. I mean, maybe they steal another one, but I don't think this is going 7. And I frankly don't think it's going 6. I think Denver just kind of wrapped it up tonight.
Lamar?
Yeah, same. I mean, it's just the guys, again, it's kind of like a repeat of game 3. Bam and Jimmy, they had good nights. They had over 20 points. But it's just, Denver just has so many answers there. I mean, even in a night where Jokic doesn't even have a double-double, and I mean, doesn't have a triple-double, I mean, and then you have Aaron Gordon, which basically turned the clock back to Orlando Magic Aaron Gordon as number one option, and then just decided to come out here and play very well. Denver's just deep. I mean, if it's not, you know, if it's not Jamal Murray that's helping out Jokic, it's Aaron Gordon that's helping out Jokic. If it's not KCP or Christian Brown, it's Bruce Brown that's doing a pretty good job. I mean, they just have so many different answers there that whatever the Heat is trying to throw at anything, they just have somebody's just going to basically step up and all of this stuff. So I imagine it's going to be over with on Monday. I feel like it's going to be in five. I feel like that Denver's going to celebrate at this point. And the Heat, I mean, congratulations. I mean, you've overaccomplished. You've outkicked your coverage. You've done all that you could do. I mean, just getting here is an accomplishment. I know they would win, and I know they would want to send UD out as a champion. But, I mean, Denver's just a different animal, man.
So, you know how there's always, like, that moment where you realize, oh, this team is going to win that series, or, you know, who's the better team, or whatever the case happens to be. Or, you know, all right, this series is a wrap, right? In game number three for me, one thing that really stuck out to me was that Miami only turned the ball over four times. Miami turned the ball over only four times, and the game was basically decided before the fourth quarter, right? So, like, turning the ball over four times in the NBA playoffs, you basically almost played a perfect, nearly as good of a game as you can play offensively as you can, right? And you still basically got run off your home floor. So that's one, right? So it's like, all right, when you play damn near perfect, you still got basically run off your home floor. So what happens when you don't play perfect? This happens. You know what I'm saying? And like, I know it has to be demoralizing because Jokic with five fouls, he sat out two-thirds of the fourth quarter. When Jokic went to the bench, Denver was up 10. When Jokic came back in the game with 4:09 left, Denver was up 9. So it's like the best player possibly on the planet missed two-thirds of the fourth quarter of a pivotal NBA Finals game, and they lost 1 point. Yeah, it's a wrap. Like, there's nothing else in the arsenal at this point for the Miami Heat. But, you know, it has just felt this entire series, and really this entire playoffs, they have been swimming upstream. You know what I mean? Yep. And the thing about Miami is saying, oh, yeah, insert team here has a better team than Miami, or they just have better players than Miami. You can see why somebody might not really hold that in such regard, because they gentlemen swept a team that we thought could win the finals. Mm-hmm. Right? They ended up 3-0 on a team that we thought that went to the finals last year. You know what I'm saying? So they've been beating better teams. Two of the three teams they beat to get to the finals were better basketball teams, had more talent than they did, right? This is just a situation where Eric Spoelstra and his great coaching and Jimmy Butler and just sheer will and want to, that can get you, and it's crazy to think about, like, those two things and a group of Danny Greens can make it to the NBA Finals. Because it feels like, you remember when Eli Manning had those two Super Bowl runs, like going from the wild card round all the way to the Super Bowl, and it's like he just got hot?
Do I?
Or the Ravens in 2013, Joe Flacco just got hot? That's kind of what this feels like, except the clock has struck midnight on the Miami Heat.
You know what I'm saying? And, I mean, that's the thing about the NBA. Like, you know, it's tough to win 4 out of 7, especially when you're not the better team. Like, I don't know if, you know, a fully healthy Giannis, I don't know if Miami beats him, but you got to give him credit because Giannis came back after two games, I believe.
Yeah.
And they still lost 3 straight. And so, you got to give him credit for that. You got to give him credit for beating New York. I believe Jimmy missed the game, that series when he hurt his ankle. I think he missed the game. And then they came back and beat New York. And then, like you said, to beat Boston, who we pretty much had Boston and Milwaukee as the favorites to come out the East. And so to go up 3-0 and then to lose it and be at 3-3, just the sheer will of that, because how many people did you see that just counted them out? Like, this is over. You know, you always see. Yeah. I mean, and it's a fair assessment, honestly.
Yeah.
Because you're going back on the road to game 7. So for them to do that, and they basically whooped them, like, in their home, on their home floor.
Hey, because I was going to think about this. The last time I've seen an ending to a basketball game like that has to be 2013 Miami and San Antonio game 6, where it's just hard to get up off the mat after something like that.
Yeah. Absolutely. And so, like, for them to do that, like you said, with Danny Green and, like, you know, like, Kyle Lowry and Kevin Love, I don't think they're Hall of Famers, but they were really good players, but they're not what they used to be. And a bunch of undrafted players. It's so impressive. And if I'm Miami, I got to be going in, like, we just got to get one more guy. Like, we can just get one more guy that we are for sure can get us 20. Not like a Caleb Martin or a Gabe Vincent 20. Like, you know, it's coming like every other night. You never know when they're going to heat up. But, like, if they can get a legit 20-point-a-game score next to Jimmy that kind of embodies that culture because, you know, they do value a certain type of player in person, I think they'll be all right.
You know what I was actually thinking about as you were saying that this entire time? I've been – you said a guy who embodies, you know, they want a certain type of guy, a certain type of person, a certain type of culture. I was thinking about Damian Lillard, the Heat like grinders. Yeah. Damian Lillard's a guy that would embrace the grind, wouldn't he? Don't you think, Kennedy Miller, that the Miami, South Beach would be the perfect place for – look, when I think about Heat culture, I think about grind culture. Ain't that your man, Dame?
It would seem like the perfect fit, right? But knowing Dame, yeah, let's just run it back with Anthony Simons and the third pick. And let's see what we can get with Scoot Henderson. Yeah, let's do that.
Hey, like, you know what I'm about to do? I'm about to send you something that Damian Lillard shared on his Instagram the other day. Okay. Please. And I really just want to see like what you think about this. But as I'm sending you that, Kennedy Miller, the big thing as I was thinking about the Miami Heat is like they need, outside of Jimmy Butler, who can create a perimeter shot for them.
Exactly.
They can create the shot for them for themselves. Because Caleb Martin, you don't really want this dude creating a bunch of shots for himself. Gabe Vincent can do it kinda. You know what I'm saying? Duncan Robinson, he stands over there and shoots. Max Strus, he stands over there in the corner and he shoots. You know what I'm saying? So they need a guy. Kyle Lowry isn't who he used to be. You know? Nope. So if Jimmy's not creating shots for these guys, you know, you got a whole lot of guys that really are like one-trick ponies. You remember that team, that 08-09 team that in Cleveland, where it was like LeBron and Booby Gibson and Wally Zerbiak. They had a bunch of dudes, like a bunch of one-trick ponies, effectively.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's kind of the way this roster's kind of built. You know what I'm saying? And, of course, they've gotten more out of them than I think just about
for sure
any other coach and could. But they need just a little bit more. And I think, like I said, Bam has been phenomenal this series.
Yeah, Bam is solid. Yeah, I didn't mean to cut you off.
Are you good?
And, you know, I don't want if there are any. I mean, they're Tyler Hero supporters. Obviously, he could give you something else in this series, but we talking about a little higher than Tyler Hero. You know, like, I don't know if Tyler Hero really makes a difference in this series. We're talking about guys that are all-star level players. Because I know people will say, well, like, Tyler Hero, he averages close to 20. He could be that. No. I'm talking about real – I'm not saying not a real playoff dude, but I don't know it yet. You know, I'm talking about real playoff dudes, you know what I mean, that can get it done next to Jimmy.
So I just sent you that Kennedy Miller. I want to get Kennedy Miller's reaction live on the air because I'm pretty sure he's going to be upset and confused.
Do I need to mute myself to watch this?
I'll mute you for a second. So Lamar, I do have a question for you, man. So, looking like the Nuggets are going to finish this thing off, what does this do, you think, for, like, Jokic's legacy long term? Because when was the last time we've seen a playoff run from a center that was this dominant? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and we haven't had one since 94? The King? I mean, the only other one that I could think of from at least a big, obviously, the 11 Mavs, but it's a lot different than that. But still, at this point, I mean, Jokic has basically a lot of people have thought, I guess a lot of people really don't look at the Nuggets and all that stuff. They don't, you know, they're not a casual fans team. People mainly look at the Lakers, Heat, Knicks, Nets, etc. But, you know, Jokic is everything what everybody has said that he is. I mean, his court vision, the way he can dominate a game, and with just so much ease out there. So I think it's going to really do a lot for his legacy. And, you know, it's going to help him out like that one ring helped out Giannis. It's going to elevate him to a point where, okay, now you're there. Now we're here. Now we see what you were talking about.
And I think in terms of like team playoff runs, this is one of the greatest playoff runs of a team to a title in a long time, because they're probably going to finish this thing off losing only two games. You know, I think the Warriors lost one in 2017, and I think the LA Lakers lost one game in the 2000-2001 playoff run. I think that was the Iverson T-Lou step over. You know, this, like, once we really kind of think about it, like, this is one of the great runs of really the last two decades. And it came from a team. Go ahead.
Phoenix beat them, though, didn't they?
Phoenix beat them twice.
Phoenix beat them twice.
The Lakers, they swept the Lakers, and they swept Big Purr.
Minnesota won one.
Yeah, Minnesota
got one. Oh, they won one. Okay.
They won game four.
Okay. Yeah, okay. Right. Look,
it is still impressive.
Yeah.
It's still impressive what they're doing. Don't want to take that away from them.
Did you see the video?
I just saw the video.
Talk to us.
At this point in my life, anytime somebody posts something with Kanye West talking, I don't. I have a calmer mind today than Wednesday, so I can refrain from saying some things that I want to.
We don't want the calmer mind.
But I don't understand this dude, man. I don't. And I get like this because I like him. I like him a lot. I respect the grind attitude. I respect that. Everybody's like, no, you wanted a team hop and championship hop. No, I'm not talking about doing that. But it is unfortunate when a top 10 to 12 player is in his prime and his team is missing the playoffs in multiple years. Like, it should not happen. It's either a malpractice on his part or it's a malpractice on the organization's part. And what they should say, again, I will say it again, they should do what Minnesota did with Kevin Garnett. Thank you for your time. You've done your best with this organization. We ain't got nothing else for you. We going in a different direction. Where would you like to go? And we'll see if we can help you out.
Here's what I still don't get about that Kanye video. Somebody sent me that Kanye video, right? And I watched it and I was like,
I was so confused.
I was confused. And here's the thing. Like you said, Ken, anytime I see some of Kanye West, I really just turn it off. I'm like, Lord knows what he could be talking about, right? Like, who knows? But I watched that. I said, somebody's like, do you think Dave knows what Kanye was saying? I said, I don't know if Kanye knows what Kanye was saying. Like, it should be an Olympic sport trying to understand what Kanye West be talking about at this point, dog. Because I'm like, huh? Hmm?
Like, I don't get it.
I think personally for Damian Lillard, you have to ask yourself, what do you want out of your career? You know, because I think Damian Lillard is one of these guys who doesn't view his entire like existential, just who he is in terms of his job, right? Because I think we do that a lot with athletes and we make them like you are defined by your job, right? But I think in America, a lot of us define ourselves by our jobs, right? And so if Damian Lillard is like, if he decides he wants to be like Bradley Beal, a loser, because that's what Bradley Beal has decided he's cool with being. He's cool with being a loser on the court, but a winner at Bank of America. If Dame decides that, like, you know, he cool with that, okay, right? You know, I want to embrace the grind, you know, just embrace these, you know, these $300 million. All right. But if Dame actually wants to contend for something, he's going to have to go, you know, because there's nobody at that third pick that they can get, like draft, that's going to be able to help them contend next year. And there's nobody I really think they could trade for that third pick.
That's what I'm saying.
That can help them either. And so it's like they're kind of in a no man's land situation to where it's like, I really don't know what they, I mean, what they need to do is get, like we said, get rid of Dame. Like, and just start over with, like, let Chauncey Billups start this thing all over again with a new group.
Start it over. You got the third pick. Shaedon Sharpe is a really good young player. Anthony Simons is solid. Like, and then you're going to get assets from trading Damian Lillard. There's your young core right there. Like, just build with that. That's what I would do. But like you said, the bigger part about it is, because I don't think they're going to keep that third pick. The bigger part of it is, I don't think they're going to get enough to go back into playoff contention with it. That third pick ain't getting you Jaylen Brown alone. You know, the third pick is not getting you Pascal Siakam or OG Anunoby. But again, those last two guys that I named, okay, you got Siakam and Dame, or OG Anunoby and Dame. Oh, yeah, world beaters in the Western Conference. They're going through Kevin Durant and Devin Booker, Jokic and Jamal Murray, Kawhi and PG. Like, come on now. Like, you got to get some real hitters or get him out of there and start it over.
They're in a tough spot. And you, at a certain point, you just don't know what they're going to do or what they want to do. But, like, even thinking about a team like Boston, you know, they need a point guard. They did, like, they got Malcolm Brogdon up in there. But, you know, he ended up hurt by the end of it. But still, they still need a point guard. They still need a little bit of something. They're still missing something. Like, my thought for a couple weeks has been they probably need the 86 Jaylen Brown, right? But the problem with 86 and Jaylen Brown is, it's almost like when we talk about quarterbacks and, you know, teams have to overpay for average because average is so hard to find when we talk about quarterbacks. So, like, a dude like Kirk Cousins can hit for a lick. Or a dude like Daniel Jones, all ski mask team. You know what I'm talking about? Even, like, you know, you have to pay a lot of money, a premium for above average. Like, your Matt Ryan's, and he was still good. Your Matt Stafford's. With Jaylen Brown, it's kind of the same thing. Like, it is going to be hard to find a dude like that caliber that you can drop in right here, right now, that would be available. That's going to be the difficult thing to find. And so you almost ask yourself, maybe they should have got rid of Joe Mazzulla. Maybe. Because, and I'm still confused on how they ended up picking him to be like the replacer for Mr. Steel, the replacement for Mr. Steel, your girl. Because, like, Joe Mazzulla was one of them dudes on, like, the second row of the bench last year.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's easy to replace a coach rather than it is replace two really high-end players.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, even with Boston, I don't really know where they go. You know what I'm saying?
I don't either. I think they're just kind of content on trying to run it back with the young coach. Because, like, I mean, we said that last year, and then, like, they got a point guard. They got Malcolm Brogdon for cheap, and we're all like, Boston has won the offseason. Like, they just got Malcolm Brogdon for pennies, and he's a quality point guard in the league. But like you said, he got hurt. And then, like, down the stretch, even before that, he wasn't really getting burned in crunch time minutes. So, like, I just think they got to kind of look themselves in the mirror as, like, the roster that they've constructed. Because you look at it, and you're like, bro, this could probably be one of the best 8 or 9 rotations in the league. Because, you know, we forget that they got Gallinari, too, for cheap. And he got hurt at the beginning. I mean, even, I think, before the season started. And so he didn't even get to play for them, but that's another player that could have helped them out. But I don't know. I don't know what they're going to do. And the Marcus Smart experience, too, because I feel like that's a reason that Malcolm Brogdon is not on the floor in those games, because Boston has such allegiance to Marcus Smart. And he's like a roller coaster. Like, he can be really great and, like, help you win some games, and then you know some games that you lost is because of Marcus Smart and his decision-making at crucial times in the game.
You know, as you say that, I really just thought about it. Had Derek White not made that tip in, Joe Mazzulla would have got hell. Because the last look, you rested your season on the green haired demon Marcus Smart. He was the guy who took the shot. You know what I'm saying? Like, that has gone under, like, you know, like Derek White just washed all that away, being at the right place at the right time. Right. You know what I'm saying? So, like, it's, oh man, like, very interesting case. I think they're, I don't know what they do. You know, like, my first inclination would be one, like, either Brown or Smart got to go. But again, Smart, you can get a couple of guys that can play good defense. You can find some dudes who can play some defense, right? Jaylen Brown is a little bit more iffy on what you're going to do with him, even though his ass can't dribble. You know, like.
Yeah. Like, but you bring up a good point, though. It's a wings league. Like, that is what everybody's kind of searching for right now. And he is pretty much a guy that, like, how are you going to replace, and who would you replace it with that's going to give you equal or more value? Like, I like the duo of Tatum and Brown. And, you know, like we all say, like, if they can just get a point guard, you know, that can help steady the ship down the stretch of close games. But for how much longer? You know, like, it would be ideal if Rajon Rondo could just fall out of the sky and be back in Boston with him. Because I think that's the exact type of point guard that they need. But he ain't coming. So, I mean, what are you going to do? You going to live with Marcus and Malcolm off the bench?
I got a question. I actually got a hypothetical question there.
Okay.
What if, and I know he's older now, but what if Boston gets CP3?
That's interesting. He going to have to stop wearing all them HBCU shirts and stuff. I'm going to tell you that right now.
That is interesting.
That's not going to fly down there at old Boston.
Oh, yeah, no. That ain't working.
He's going to be wearing a College and a Holy Cross shirt going to the games.
All Jesuit College.
Yo, him going to Boston would be... It depends. Is he there to be your, like, play 35, 36 minutes a game point guard? Or is he kind of here, kind of spot minutes? You know what I'm talking about? Like, if he's here for, like, spot minutes, give you a quick burst here or there and kind of be, like, veteran leadership, you know what I mean? But kind of on the, like, kind of, you know, not closing the game. So I think that's probably the place he is at this point in his career. I think it could be helpful for them because what they lack is, like a lot of veteran leadership. They have Al Horford, but, you know, I don't know how much Tatum and Brown listen to him. You know what I'm saying? So, like, maybe, because I think what I've noticed is Chris Paul can help young, like, he helps shepherd young teams. Like, he's really good, at, like, as the big homie. You know what I mean? And, like, I think in that role, he could be very useful for a team like Boston. If you want him to play 30, 35 minutes a game.
No, he can't play more than 30 minutes a game. Mm-mm. But I do think, he does need to play the spot minutes, but I do think he needs to close the games.
Okay.
Like, ration the minutes out however you will, but these last 5 minutes, he needs to be in the game. Now, one thing that Tatum and Brown do, they both dribble that ball a lot. Like, that, and that's what happens down the stretch of the games. Like, they just start, like, over dribbling. And like you said, like, what, Jaylen Brown had 8 turnovers in that game 7?
10.
I mean, they just dribble the ball a lot. So for they do probably need a veteran point guard to be like, hey, like, pass that ball over here. Like, no, we about to get into something, and I'm going to get y'all some easier shots. But, yeah, I mean, at this point, you shouldn't ask Chris Paul to play 30, 35 minutes a night. That is just setting him up for failure.
Because – you know what I'm thinking about? Remember when Jrue Holiday went to the Bucks? That's the type of dude they need. That's the type of dude Boston needs at this point. Like, a guy at that level. You know, that can just... Because they take... Because Brown and Tatum especially, take such difficult shots.
Yeah.
And for me, what's frustrating is when they need a bucket, like the great players, when they need a bucket, they have a spot they get to on the court, a certain shot they like. You know, what's Jason Tatum's shot? It is dribble the air out of the ball till there's 5 seconds left, take a step back contested three-pointer. That's his shot. And it's like, dude, I know the whole Kobe Bryant mama mentality, we going to be Jack'em Joes. You know, that's fine. You know what I'm talking about? I hope that's not. Is it too soon to talk about?
No, but I mean, people don't like, why? Somebody got mama mentality because they take mid-range shots and they like Kobe when they was growing up.
It, like, and they're not scared to take difficult shots. Like, that's what's so confusing to me. It's like,
I hate that. Stop saying that. Please. You make a great point about the Tatum thing, which is why I think you look at that Philadelphia series. I think it was game 6 and 7. Game 6, he don't score for like the first 3 quarters. He's got 0 points.
You're right.
Because, like, obviously shots weren't falling, but you don't have go-to shots either. But then you look in game 7, now he can't miss. So now he's got like 50 in the game 7.
Yep.
And it's like, that's the roller coaster. And I know I just said that about Marcus Smart, but that's the roller coaster they got with their best player too. Like, some nights he looks like, oh, he is up there in the conversation with one of the best players in the league. And then other nights it's like, is he even the best player on his team?
So, folks, don't forget, leave your questions and your comments in the chat. Now is the portion of the program. We're going to read them off and answer them. So, we got a question. Jasmine asks, what are y'all anticipating in the draft besides Wimby? Look, I'm turning the draft off after we draft Big Paulie. Okay, I'm watching the draft for literally 5 minutes. Once we draft Big Paulie, I'm turning it off. Whatever else anybody else does is immaterial to me, okay? Go, Spurs, go. Look, I need somebody for Christmas. I don't know how, if I don't know if my girlfriend is watching this. I need a Big Paulie jersey. Okay, I ain't bought a jersey in a very long time. Okay, I had a Duncan, a Parker, a Ginobili, and I think I had a Kawhi Leonard jersey before my mama threw it away when I moved out. I need me a Big Paulie jersey. So whatever else happens in the draft, I don't care. Look, unless your boy Dame gets traded, then I'll tune back in. You know, maybe then else, like, because is this a deep draft, a particularly deep draft? Oh. The only other thing I know about this draft, other than Paulie, is Scoot Henderson is really good. And the only other thing I know about the dude, Brandon Miller, is that he brought a gun to a homicide. But everybody who, my man, you know, Tobias Bass, Kennedy Miller, shout out to Tobias from The Athletic. Tobias is like, yo, I said, who does Brandon Miller play like? He's like, Paul George.
Yeah.
He's like, Paul George, oh, he's that good.
Yeah, he's going to be solid. And, yeah, he's probably going to Charlotte. So, you know, that'll be interesting. Him and LaMelo Ball, if they can put it together.
Man, you know Michael Jordan ain't never going to get it right. him and them big old him pants.
Lamar, what are you most excited about in the draft?
I guess as the residential Mavs fan here, I'm interested in seeing what they do with the 10th pick.
10th pick?
Do they draft them? I mean, do they draft whoever's there? Because I've been seeing so many different mock drafts. Some have said Taylor Hendricks. Some have said Grady Dick. Do we trade a pick? I mean, that's the big question about that. Outside of the team, I guess I'm probably going to be interested in seeing what do the Rockets do at 4 and mm-hmm. what do the Pistons do at 5? Do they mm-hmm. trade those picks? Because I think you already have so much youth there that you probably should go ahead and trade those picks just in order to get maybe a veteran force in there or something like that. And I know, obviously, the guys after Paulie and Miller and, of course, Scoot Henderson out there. Of course, you got those twins there, too. So it's going to be really interesting to see what does Houston do and what does Detroit do, honestly, because you got so many young players. You can't be you can stockpile them as much as you want to, but, I mean,
yeah.
You don't want to be like the Kings. You got to have a time now where we got to win now. Like,
mm-hmm.
And that's an interesting thing with a team like the Rockets, because the Rockets have been sorry for the last 3 years. And, you know, they've got, you know, Jabari Smith, Kevin Porter, and Jalen Green. I know that everybody says they're going to be very aggressive this offseason. They're going to be allegedly in the market for Austin Reeves or Rui Hachimura or, you know, some guys of that ilk. And they're trying to bring James Harden back to town for reasons that have nothing to do with basketball.
Bring his jersey off the Raptors.
Hey, man. No one's going to be happier James Harden is back than the women at Dreams. No one. No one's going to be happier when James comes back. But it's like, Ime Udoka, when he's been a head coach, and he's only been head coach for 1 year, he took a team that was pretty good to being a team that was 2 wins from winning the NBA Finals. Yep. This ain't that situation. This is a team, you know, this is more of a fixer-upper job. This is more of a job like a Larry Brown type. Like I always say, Larry Brown can take a bad team and make them good, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is this, you know, does Ime Udoka have the patience for that? Is he built to lose 50-some-odd games? You know what I'm saying? And for a team like the Rockets, what does progress look like, especially because you've been tanking this out? You know, you haven't been good for the last 3 years. You know, and what does that mean for the general manager, Stone, if this doesn't start looking better?
Yeah, that was one of the things I was going to say as well, Lamar, is just like the trade situation during a draft, like, what teams are going to stand pat and which ones aren't. And I think that the Rockets would be looking to trade it. And I think that the Mavs would as well. And I would hope that Portland is for reasons that we've already discussed. But I think the Rockets have kind of started to solidify their core. And the big man they got, Sengun, he's got game. Like, he can play. And so you kind of name the guys that have been rumored to have been on their wish list. You know, they've been rumored to go after Jaylen Brown, trying to go after Jaylen Brown too. I saw today they might be trying to look at Karl Anthony Towns, going down there. So I don't know, but I am interested to see what, cause again, we just talked about it. And Houston and Portland aren't in the same situation where they can go to contending for a title. But, you know, what's going to move them? Like, what's going to move them with that fourth pick? What player can they get? And what are their expectations going to be? Is it just to make the playoffs? Is it, you know, to just go first round, make the play-in? What are they trying to do? So I'm interested for the whole draft night to see what moves, if any, get made.
I think you made a very good point. I always make this point about college football that, you know, every team thinks they should win 9 or 10 games, go to the Orange Bowl or something. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, what is good to you? At a place like Iowa going 8-4, 9-3, that's really good. At a place like Kansas State, they're like, yo, we will keep you forever if you go, you know, you go 7-6, 8-4, and then every so often have a 10-2. That's great. You know, for a team like the Rockets or, you know, Portland or Detroit, what do you want to be next year? What do you consider good enough for next year? You know, because the Pistons are going to have Cade Cunningham, they're going to have James Wiseman. And I think that to do with a whole lot of potential that just hasn't played basketball.
Mm-hmm.
Very much basketball. Yeah, like they got a good young core. And Monty's a coach that can get you there, that can take a team that's been sorry for a mm-hmm. better part of 2 decades, like the Phoenix Suns, and got a young team there. You know, I think the same thing could happen possibly in Detroit. I don't think this is going to be like a 1 year process or a 2 year process. It might take 2.5, closer to 3. You know, but like a team like Detroit, man, that's a squad. It's not like the same way with the Knicks. Like, if they're good, it's good for the league. It's not in the same way, but it's like, you know, when Detroit was rocking in the early 2000s, yeah. Man, it just felt different. They ain't at the Palace no more, but you know, they just felt, yeah. It felt like something when they was out in Detroit.
Yeah.
At the Palace, then you had Big Ben rocking the fro. You know, yes. And then, you know, the announcer was the best announcer for the start.
Shout out to our guy, Mason.
Yes.
Yeah, you know,
yes.
Like, they just, you could feel like they were a team that was, like, kind of for the culture. Like, you just, with the starting five, all five of them dudes, just, you felt like them was some real dudes. Like, you knew Rasheed, like, Bono Law! yeah, but I do think that they are, they're closer to being good than people think. Because Cade Cunningham is really good. He just didn't play that much this year. And we just kind of touched on their core, but you know, your backcourt, Cade Cunningham and Jay Nivey, those dudes are 6'5 and 6'6 in your backcourt. Then you drafted the big man last year, Jalen Duren, and traded for James Wiseman. Like, you got two young bigs that have potential there. And you've got some things like they signed Bogdanovich, who was, you know, averaging 20 points in the league for a little bit. And so, they just kind of shut down guys early due to injuries and, you know, they were kind of tanking. So I'm interested to see how they do next year and what they do, like you said, with that fifth pick. Because, you know, they were rumored to get, the wing from Villanova, but he's like 6'7", 220. And so, like, imagine that, 6'5", 6'6", 6'7", with those bigs down there. They're going to be interesting.
Yo, do they still have that dude who almost ran through the entire roster trying to get to LeBron James? They still have him? Because, look, man, Dan, bite they kneecaps off Campbell, should have came and got him. Okay, because I'm like, yo, this dude looks like an edge rusher. Relentless
pursuit. He was playing the wrong sport, bro.
Dude, relentless pursuit to the ball. Okay?
It's crazy that that happened. Like, bro, that was like, it's crazy that happened, what, a year? Was that earlier this year?
Yes. No. No, no, no. That was Russell. That was Russell Westbrook's first year in LA. Yeah.
Yes. I thought we were going to turn the tide after that game. I was wrong.
But Russell Westbrook, put him up.
Yeah. There were so many jokes after that game, bro.
Can you imagine if Jim Ross was covering that chase, like as Isaiah Stewart was just running in the locker room and just, my God, he can't be stopped. He's like a raging bull.
Hey, man. Bro, if Jim Ross called basketball games, you know who he would hate the most? You know who would be his Triple H?
Who?
Draymond Green. It would be Draymond. He'd be on here. You cost LeBron the title, you bastard.
Damn you, Draymond. Bro,
he would be on Draymond tough, and you know it. Don't you step on him. Don't you? Oh.
Oh.
God almighty.
And the kicks to the groin, too. Oh, man. You ought to know that he's going to have something to say about that.
Yo, Jim would be... Yo, you know what he would say to John Morant? He'd be acting like John Morant is Jeff Hardy. Oh my God, don't do it, John. Think of your family, think of your fans. We love you.
And that dunk especially, what he had with Kevin Love would have been that.
Yes.
That time he almost just...
Hey, man, yo, if remember a couple years ago, somebody was like, if wrestling was, what if the NBA was run by Vince McMahon?
Oh, yeah.
Yo,
those two theories, bro.
Yo, he would have Jokic in, like, these handicap matches. He would have Jokic in these handicap matches. He get, like...
Teddy Long coming out in Denver. Hold on a minute, player.
Just a minute.
Tonight, you will go one-on-one with the Undertaker.
With the Joker. The Joker. Oh no, bro. Hey man, bro, Teddy Long used to just every time it was either a six-man tag team match or you going one-on-one with the Undertaker. It was one of those. Yo, they still need to bring my man Teddy Long back. And Teddy used to walk out there. Just a minute. Hold on a minute now, player. Oh, dear God. And that is another episode of the Game Plan Podcast. Lamar Gafford, Sidlot Preps, thank you for hanging out with us, dog. Tell us where they can find your work, all that good stuff, man. Social media, all that, dog.
Yeah, you can find me at Twitter, at Lamar Gafford, all in one word. That is at Lamar Gafford. Also Instagram, primetime2832. That's primetime2832. And sinlawpreps.com, which we have a lot of good things coming up. So find me on all those mediums.
Kennedy Miller.
Find me on Twitter at _KennedyMiller_. You can find me on Instagram at _KennedyMiller_. That's 2 underscores on Instagram.
All right. All right. Hopefully Damian Lillard don't find out what you've been saying about him, because he might be kind of sensitive.
I want to have a conversation with Dame. I do. I just want to ask him, what are we doing? What are we doing? That's all I want to know. I feel like that's reasonable. Are you just in there just to play and do all this? But the thing that pissed me off, and we'll be real quick because I know we're wrapping up. But, okay, you love to grind. You playing, right? Okay, but then y'all get 3-4 games out the playoffs. Why everybody getting sit? Why everybody sitting down now? I thought it was just for the grind. But not everybody getting listed out after y'all been eliminated. No, Dave. I don't like this. I don't like this. I want you to compete for championships. I want your teams in the playoffs. I love to see playoff Dame. Not this lottery number 3 seed. It's not. I mean, number third pick. It's not good enough. It's not good enough for me.
I feel it. I feel it. You can follow me on Twitter at Alex Goodwin, TSM. That's on Twitter, Alex Goodwin, TSM. That's T as in tacos, S as in Spoelstra, like Eric Spoelstra, the coach of the Miami Heat, who lost tonight 108-95. Follow the Game Plan Podcast on Instagram at _TheGamePlanPodcast. Get on Instagram at _TheGamePlanPodcast. Also, like, share, and subscribe to the Game Plan Podcast wherever you're listening to your podcast, and wherever, well, you're watching this on our YouTube live, on our YouTube channel. And don't forget, tell 10 friends to tell 10 more friends, tell 10 more friends to tell 10 more friends about the Game Plan Podcast. That's a lot of people to tell. Okay. Wherever you're listening and watching, however you're listening and watching, we appreciate you guys for listening and watching. For Lamar Gafford and for Kennedy Miller, my name is Alex Goodwin. This has been the Game Plan Podcast live stream. We will see you guys after game number 5. Y'all take it light.